Dunkin's Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
This is Phil Plait of BadAstronomy.com, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM for UBC in Vancouver, British Columbia.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah. Explosion! There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar, the human serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Roomtone, the radio show that takes filmmaking's community to your ears, and we're gonna dive into the mind of our guest and therapeutic virtual reality. In case you've never heard it, therapeutic virtual reality is such an amazing sounding word. Right after the Bee Gees with Stayin' Alive, soundtrack of Ready Player One. Everybody, catch you in a second. We'll be right back. Welcome everybody. Room Tone here, Ruggero, your host. That was the juicy soundtrack of Ready Player One from the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. Who doesn't know that song? I don't know. Who doesn't know that song? It hasn't lived, you know? It's such a pleasure to be here with such an incredible personality. We're talking about someone who is extremely charismatic and extremely charming. And at the same time, he's got his own charisma going on right here. This great character I'm about to introduce, he's the master of virtual reality, and he has his hands into therapeutic virtual reality right now through the companies called Epionia and Digit. In fact, he is the president of the immersive production studios Digit and Epionia. Raise your hands for Daniel Sampier. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing very good. Thank you.
Welcome in. This is the space, the lobby for everybody in the film industry to talk about what they do and what they love doing.
Absolutely.
So the first thing I want to ask you is, how did you end up here in Vancouver making what you're doing?
Oh, that's an interesting story. I ran a mobile development studio for the last decade back in Montreal, and decided at some point in time that I wanted to sell that and kind of retire type of thing. And a few months in, then I realized, hey, I was way too young for that. So decided to, look at some of our opportunities out there. And one thing led to another. I'm a huge mountain bike fan, so love mountain biking. And of course, you know, BC being the capital of the world of mountain biking, I guess that was a go from there.
Awesome. Sounds great. So let's dive into therapeutic VR right away. People are curious. People want to know what therapeutic VR is and what is it? It sounds so cool. It sounds so interesting. It sounds like the future of healing. Why don't you take us through it?
Sure thing. It's actually very interesting. Basically, what we do is we use virtual reality to alleviate pain and anxiety primarily. So that's based on different colors, different sounds, different virtual reality experiences that we could put together and kind of help with those clinical anxiety, essentially. And then we just go from there. So we do a lot of work around that and a lot of work around Alzheimer's and dementia and traditional things like fear of heights and so on and so forth. So
awesome. Yeah. That definitely sounds like the future of healing right there. Daniel, I want to ask you first, just to give a little perspective, you know.
Yes.
Who are you and where do you come from? How did you get into this world?
Okay. I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts. Left there, was about early 10 years old or so. Moved to Montreal, and from there got very interested in everything around healthcare, and always been involved in something around healthcare in some way, shape, or form, either like helping out a neighbor that's in need or essentially working with some doctors that were close friends to us, cleaning their clinics and doing all sorts of things like that. So, over time, I decided to start companies. I'm a tech. I like to start tech companies, essentially, and once I got old enough to do my own thing, decided to start businesses around that and kind of help in any way, shape, or form that we can, and there we go.
Mm-hmm. So. Lots of light in there. So, like, a really warm heart, but at the same mm-hmm. time, a brain that seeks that technology.
Absolutely.
And putting that together, therapeutic VR. Wow, so good. It's so interesting because I actually met for the first time Daniel at the Vancouver Web Fest. So, shout out to the Vancouver Web Fest. And he was there explaining and basically taking people through this little exercise, or how can we call it? Maybe a little game?
Yeah.
Little exercise?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what we call our plank challenge. Of course, when we do events like that, it's all about fun and games. But the idea is to show people how we could actually use some of those games, for example, in this plank challenge to help with fear of heights. So basically, somebody that cannot enter an elevator, we're going to walk through that journey. And once they've accomplished that, then we're going to ask them to walk a plank. And it's all that is in virtual reality, but it's very, very realistic for people, as you know.
I actually went through it, and I can tell you guys, such an incredible experience, because it's perception is everything we have in the end to access the outside world. And when you play with that, and when you find the right balance of information to give or not to give and how to give it, you can really shift and shape someone's mind in a different way. It was extremely powerful. Do you guys have any other sort of exercise or activity that you guys do, sort of like the plank, but approaching other aspects of mental?
Yes, absolutely. Some of the stuff that we do is around pain and anxiety. So we have a series of applications that are, when it comes down to game, it's a little bit, not to game, but to pain. We're going to use a little bit more gaming approach to helping them out. Again, the idea is not to heal somebody using the virtual reality, but to actually use virtual reality to kind of like take their mind off of whatever they're experiencing right now, and that actually helps with pain. So we have a few games in the works and a few games that we've been using. They're primarily like Infinite Runner games and things like that. They come down with a very specific approach when it comes down to those games. It's not your traditional shooter game or anything like that. Those, in fact, actually don't work as therapeutic VR type of solutions. So they're very, very well thought of. There's science behind that. It's not just a bunch of geeks that are developers and start creating these things. So no, it's all backed up by neuroscience psychologists, some nurses, and all sorts of medical professionals. So yeah, we'll use some gaming for when it comes down to pain, and we're going to use a little bit more discovery applications and meditation when it comes down to anxiety. Those have been known to be very, very effective when it comes down to clinical anxiety. We could show that our solution will reduce anxiety up to 50 to 60% in like less than 5 minutes.
Wow, that is incredible statistics right there.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to actually get into the engine and how the engine works right after the break. This is, of course, the soundtrack of Ready Player One. And I want to ask you, Daniel, why did you choose the soundtrack of Ready Player One for today's interview?
Basically because that song has been following me. It's pretty much the first song that I discovered as a kid. I was about 7 years old when it came out, and it was my first record ever. And yeah, it's been following me ever since, and I strongly believe everything that's in there.
Sounds great. Then here we go. Bruce Springsteen, Stand On It.
Since I'm ready for
All right, everybody. That was Bruce Springsteen, Stand On It, the soundtrack of Ready Player One, chosen by our guest Daniel St-Pierre. And we just get into the engine of virtual reality and augmented reality, because it's also augmented reality, if I'm not wrong.
Absolutely.
Now, people tend to confuse the two, virtual reality and augmented reality, or they might not even know the difference. Could you give us a little bit of...
Sure thing. Virtual reality is more me taking your body and immersing you into this experience. So usually you put goggles on and I rebuilt the 360-degree experience for your brain, essentially. That's virtual reality. Augmented reality is all about adding layers to your current reality. So a little bit like, I'm pretty sure everybody's familiar with Pokemon Go, where you actually open your phone and now suddenly I see the real world and I start adding layers onto that real world. So that's the big difference between augmented reality and virtual reality.
Definitely two very different things, but such a great momentum for both of those happening right now. Where do you see it happen? Where do you see it go for the next 5 years?
A lot of pain. us creating that technology and bringing it together is going to be very, very hard. It's been very hard for the last 3 years already. 3 to 5 years, a lot of people have been working on. So I think that the next 5 years will be game changer in a lot of industries thanks to those technologies. Virtual reality is soon to become mainstream for what, you know, some of those big companies out there would like for it to happen. So I think that, yeah, the next 5 years, all that will finally become mainstream, although it's been there for many, many, many years in a lot of different
aspects. How far does it actually reach?
What do you mean? How far does it
reach? The first signs of actual virtual reality. When did it happen?
The first few signs happened in the, I would say, early 80s, all the way down to, like, yeah, probably beginning of 80s, 82, something like that, where you had like these helmets and these big kits that would be like room size type of computers and things like that. So yeah, it goes all the way down to there. Of course, it changes quite a bit ever since. Everybody has been focusing on trying to reduce the size of the equipment and all that good stuff, making it more appealing for the end user and more practical in some way. So yeah.
Sounds great right there. It's such a pleasure to have someone like you talk about the future.
Thank you.
Literally, right here on 101.9 FM. And it's the greatest thing about all this is that we are all going towards it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, people don't realize it, how already it's embedded in like businesses and stuff like that. People are still, most of the people out there are still questioning, hey, is this going to go somewhere and so on and so forth. I got some good news for you guys. It's out there. It's being deployed. It's being used, like some real case studies out there. So, yeah, everybody should embrace it more than try to kind of get away from it type of thing. Mm-hmm. It is here to stay. A lot, like I said, a lot of industries will benefit from it. So, yeah, and I strongly believe that. So
beautiful, wonderful words. Woohoo! All right, let's get. I really want to. I'm really curious about the therapeutic aspect of VR right now, and I'm actually very curious about the whole process on how you guys treat the patients and how you welcome them to the idea of VR.
Okay, that's actually very, very challenging to us. Of course, it's something that people are not used to when it comes down to therapeutic virtual reality. What the hell is that and how does that come together? So basically, our approach is to initially take more of an approach of entertainment with them to get them to understand what's virtual reality, how it works. We get them into VR. We get them to try some of our experiences. And within a minute or two, I mean, their attitude has completely changed towards the technology and they're embracing it. And they're actually, some of them are actually begging for it because they could see that potential within a minute or two of what we're doing. And they realize that it's completely different than everybody out there. We're not gamers. We're not developers. Actually, we don't really care about those things. Mm-hmm. What we care about is to help as many people as we can using, you know, a drug-free alternative, essentially.
Awesome. Is there a practical example or a memory that really proved to you that this is the future of healing?
Yes. Actually, I have quite a few of those, but I'll take a cancer patient we worked with about 2 years ago. Is basically a patient that has cancer, breast cancer, and through her chemo treatments and things like that, she had like a really hard time going through the treatment. Sleeping was a real, real pain for her. And throughout, even like when she was doing her chemo treatments, it would be painful. You know, seeing everybody walking around, it would become very, very stressful for her. So basically, we offered her to try our virtual reality experience. And it was supposed to be for 3 days. And we worked with her for 3 months. So nice. It gives you an idea of how effective it was. We actually help her sleep. A lot better than she ever did throughout her entire treatment. So we had came up, essentially, our doctors and her have came up with some sort of plan, if you will, to use our product throughout the day, 2 or 3 times a day, X amount of time. And then we started evaluating, hey, does this make a difference for the patient and stuff like that? And she would always come back and it's like, yeah, man, I had the best night in a long time. I feel good. I'm not stressed out about my treatment today.
That's wonderful, you know, having some that type of feedback from a patient.
Absolutely.
That must be such a wonderful feeling, such a wonderful saturation within you, you know?
So it is.
Sounds great. Is there, though, a moment in your overall, on your overall experience, you know, that marked you specifically or that led you into this path of healing?
I think it's a little bit of my background. I've been working a lot with pharmaceuticals for the last decade, and I used to train physician nurses and medical professionals like that. So I was already aware of some of the challenges that they would go through and things like that. And patience to me is very, very important. I think that I'm the type of guy personally that doesn't take any medication for anything. So I'm always looking for an alternative to kind of treat myself. Of course, if I have to, for whatever reason, I'm willing to do what it, you know, what I need to do, take pills or drugs or anything like that. But if I could avoid it, I will at all costs, essentially. So, and through my transition after selling my other company, I wanted to create something that would actually make a difference to a lot of people, not just today, but in the years, decades, if not the centuries to come. And that's pretty much how my mindset was when I decided to come up with something like that.
We got a revolution up in here, everybody. Keep your ears open for Daniel St-Pierre and Digit right there. Now, the great thing about this healing process is that it can is not only about healing anxiety, but it reaches further as well. Making a little research, I saw on your website also phobias and
yes.
Phobias and you know, many other dementia, Alzheimer's, many other mental states can be healed. How about exploring those other fields? Is there a different approach that you guys have when treating different mental states?
There is different approach depending on what type of things we're doing. For example, we've been working on sensory rooms and things like that for people that have dementia, high-intensity dementia or Alzheimer's, which we find that if we use a sensory room in combination with a virtual reality experience, we get better results a lot faster, and they're a lot more sustainable also. So what happens is essentially we tap in different areas of the brain simultaneously throughout the sensory equipment, and then once that is done, then we get into virtual reality, and then we could be even more precise on which part of the brain that we want to tackle based on what's the actual condition of that patient and what's their current state. So we would do a lot of work with current states. So depending on where you're at, we might have a different approach. Absolutely. Again, all this is scientific, right? It's not a bunch of techies that develop software.
Yeah, just want
to be clear out there.
Yeah, of course. Getting that science up in there, and that's beautiful.
Absolutely.
That's why it has such a strong base, you know?
Yes.
When science comes to support healing, we definitely get the best results. And the beauty is that here you have a little bit of sparkle and technology that really make everything happen and functions as a glue. that really makes everything happen.
Absolutely.
The augmented reality, though, becomes a little bit of a different story. And I know that, that you also have experience with augmented reality and also for marketing. Could be such a... How about a little bit about that? Talking a little bit about
sure
that. It's so tasty right there.
Yeah. Augmented reality is this buzz keyword right now where everybody flips, especially the people in the marketing space. And that's why I got Digit, that focused just on that. And basically, it's the art of keeping the user engaged through something that he will remember forever. And that's where we use augmented reality. We do use virtual reality also, depending on what type of experience we want to broadcast out there. But augmented reality, I've did a lot of work over the years with pharmaceuticals for the last decade, although people didn't know about augmented reality. I was already at the forefront of the technology and already creating like some pretty impressive like presentations and things like that. For example, you know, you could have like this heart in 3D on your desk from your iPad, but there's actually no physical heart there. And a doctor could actually talk to his patient and propose different types of medication and actually see in real time like what would be the effect of that medication on the heart as of today, how, you know, on its current state. So
it's basically like having a hologram right there. It's like it's
absolutely
such a it's the future, man. It's right here, man. It's like wow, it's incredible. Like right here. But the challenges of that, do you require specific access to the space? Mounting, pre-mounting objects or...
No, absolutely not. We use what we call spatial data.
Okay.
So basically, we take data, you know, in the traditional form of 2D, and now we apply it to your environment, your space. So basically what that means is I could be taking, for example, a light pole on a street and kind of wrap something around it in augmented reality. So I take my physical space, my physical objects on top of that, and kind of animate it or do whatever type of magic we will want to do with it.
And what is the process of the projection of that information?
The process happens through your phone, so it's primarily an app. And I say phone, again, it applies to tablets also. But essentially, it's graphics that will appear on your phone, and from there it's 2D or 3D animations or graphics that we would actually put together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, it's tricking your eyes and your brain to believing that what he's seeing is kind of real in some way.
So just to clarify, this is almost like seeing through the camera of the phone the three-dimensional objects.
Correct.
that live in the space.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. That's incredible, you know, like things are going ahead so quickly, and when we will find a way to even dig deeper into our senses, probably we will be able to create actual 3D holograms without having the need of cameras and goggles.
Those days are very, very close, people. it's in laboratories. It is ready. It's the type of technology that's out there already. I just think that we're just not ready as people to kind of see them all come through. So we have to take it one step at a time.
Absolutely. Probably the first time they're gonna do a screening or an exhibition of that, it's almost gonna be like the first time they screen a movie in theaters. Mm-hmm. And people start running around. Oh, you know. I truly feel that we're about to approach that moment.
Very, very much.
And it's going to change the way we tell stories dramatically.
Yes.
You know, there is a responsibility also as storytellers, you know, to advance the medium. And these mediums that we're talking about even right now can really change the way we look at stories.
Absolutely.
How do you think virtual reality and augmented reality can actually go and take the space of cinema? This is a little bit of a stingy question.
Yeah. I find it very interesting to see the direction that it's taking right now when it comes to VR, AR, and movies and all that. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch very closely in the next 5 years and see where that's going to go. Personally, I like the idea. I just think that we're not capitalizing on it as much as we should. When it comes down to the technology and its capabilities, they're way, way, way beyond just presenting a movie in a traditional sense for me. So I'm very excited to see how that whole industry will forge itself in the next 5 years and kind of like take it to the next level. Yeah, we're at the 360-degree videos and things like that right now. But I think that, yeah, if you take it a step further and you bring holograms and mixed reality and augmented reality and you combine all those things, I think now we're going to be able to create like these experiences. Again, it's all about immersive experiences, right? So we'll be able to, I think, create these experiences that are going to be a lot more interactive with the end user. I think that's one piece that's missing right now when it comes down to movie and VR and AR. Mm-hmm. I think that the more people are going to discover the technology and its capabilities, I think we're going to start seeing more of those interactions, which I believe, as a cinema enthusiast myself, I believe that's one thing that the cinema and movies has always missed, is how to engage the end user within its experience. Mm. Now we figured out with VR how to bring them into the center of the experience itself. But now it's going to be all about discovering how we could actually make that person interact with the movie and kind of like change its outcome based on what are the actions that one person would do throughout the movie.
That interactivity, the aspect of interaction, is probably what movies have been lacking in comparison to video games, maybe.
Yes, I strongly believe that. Mm-hmm. Although I don't have any interest in video games per se, but I think that that's the one of the little component that's been missing in movie and is going to be like there today, right? It's like people don't know it because they haven't seen it. They don't know it because they haven't played with it. Mm. But once they start discovering, they might say, oh, well, you know what? That's what's been missing all these years and all the cool movies I've seen or so on.
Yeah,
so
that
far.
Aspect of interaction that truly makes it a play, you know? An event of play. And that's the only way we can evolve.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
Play is the key of evolving, right?
There you go.
And in connecting that interaction with entertainment, entertainment becomes more than entertainment in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes education.
Yes.
Where do you believe that education can heal, at least now in the 21st century, right? The world has found its own balance in chaos. You know, so many things are happening.
Yeah. I strongly I'm all for education. I do invest a lot of my personal time in educating myself regularly. I think that it's one of the big thing that our world is missing today. Is learning to live in chaos is one thing, but what if we could actually learn to get away from that chaos and build something that makes sense instead of chaos?
Mm.
I think it's cool in some way that we have this chaos because that brings, you know, original ideas out there. But at the same time, I think it slows down a lot of people and a lot of evolution just because of that chaos. Mm-hmm. So I think that the more educated we are, and it doesn't have to be on something very, very specific here. I think just education as a whole is very, very important, regardless of what you do, where you're at, how old you are, male, female, it doesn't really matter. The more educated our society will be, I think the better decisions overall we could take as humans, or at least we're taking smart decision, we could say.
Mm-hmm. Chaos is creating a lot of friction nowadays. And,
yes.
I feel sometimes chaos is needed to find balance back into order.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've gone too far right now. We're way too far. 2 minutes,
I'm a little bit like you on that.
Yeah,
we might be a step ahead where we shouldn't be at this point.
But you as a character, it seems to me that you're always trying to be a step ahead, and you always are in a way, even technologically speaking right now with entertainment. How do you manage to do that? How do you manage to find that space of awareness?
Education. I read hundreds, if not thousands, of articles a year. I listen essentially to hundreds, if not thousands, of podcasts a year. Same thing with books. I'm just a very, very curious type of person, and I never have enough knowledge, if you will. So my brain is constantly looking to learn something. And I just agree with my brain to kind of like throw whatever it doesn't know. So if you don't know this, yeah, let's throw it in there. And at some point in time, it's going to make sense and it's going to be useful. Maybe not for me personally, but for somebody in my entourage or a friend or somebody I want to help. And I think that that allowed me to stay ahead of a lot of things. I'm not afraid to explore and dig very deep into things.
This is some genuine curiosity right here.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So easy to sit down and wait, but now Daniel goes for it. He's exploring all every. We need this, you know. The community and society needs this tremendously. It's too easy to sit back down, right? What is your piece of advice to the people out there to nurture their curiosity?
You know what? One of my favorite brands out there is Nike, and I always wondered why, and I love their slogan, just do it. So I try to apply that to everything I do. It's how, regardless of how crazy the idea sounds or the resource that you don't have, regardless of that, just stand up and do it. What's the worst that could happen, right? So I try to live by that, and I just stand up and do it. Whatever I think makes sense, as long as it's morally correct and I'm not hurting anything or anybody, I'm all for it. And I think people should take a little bit more of an approach like that. A lot of times we just hold back ourselves for a million different reasons, but just do it. Just stand up and do it. And it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, it's that gut feeling that, you know, that Yeah. How do you manage to find the balance, though, between your heart, your guts, and your brain?
That's a good question. It's so much in my lifestyle today, and it's embedded in everything I do, from mountain biking to the work I do. I'm always 100% there, and I give my all. And if it comes from my heart from the beginning, I mean, it's in me. So I would say today it's pretty easy to keep that balance. I do have to have some personal time off, if you will, or some personal time to myself. And that's where mountain biking comes in play. People that do know me, I do spend a lot of time on the mountain. And one of the big reasons for that is being able to clear my mind instantly. No questions asked. In fact, if I ask my questions, I might crash and I might hurt myself. So there's no questions there. I just do it.
Mm-hmm. This approach definitely gives a lot of momentum.
Yes.
I can feel that. I can see that. The power of that momentum sometimes is misused, though, don't you think?
Absolutely. Quite often, actually. And a lot of the times I think it's going to be misused because people overthink things and will kind of bury themselves into that thinking, which for me, no. I will apply the thinking that's necessary, but I try to do everything I can not to overthink things and just get up and do it.
Sounds great. You know, we're going to take a little break over here and join you later with a one-minute pitch and the Proust questionnaire here on Roomtone. This is Daniel St-Pierre with his companies Epionia and Digit about therapeutic VR. Catch you in a second to wrap this whole burrito up. See you later with Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Chose plans to make me.
That was Marvin Gaye with I Heard It Through the Grapevine. What a character. Marvin Gaye, such a powerful story also from himself, you know. It gets a little bit too far if we reach into there, but big tribute to Marvin Gaye. Yeah, shout out to Marvin Gaye. Great soul. Thank you for joining us here on planet Earth. Now, let's go to the one-minute pitch. I say one-minute pitch. What do you say, Daniel? Should we give it a shot? Are you ready for
sure
the one-minute pitch?
Bring it on.
All right, man. I'm going to hit that clock. You ready? All right. I'm hitting that clock. Going for it.
All right. So, hey, that one-minute pitch. Very, very simple. Just stand up and do it. Just believe in your dreams and go for it. What I would like to say is around Digit, we're doing some pretty amazing work when it comes down to marketing and publicities and things like that using virtual reality, augmented reality. So if you want to ever check it out, yeah, you're welcome to go check it out. And also, shout out to Epionia. Epionia is one of our therapeutic VR solution, and we've been doing amazing work with senior homes, dental offices, naturopaths, and a lot of different medical professionals, pain clinics and stuff like that. And we're getting slowly into addictions and phobia, as we mentioned earlier. So we're looking forward to, just crank it up and do it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Beautiful words and beautiful passion. Lots of passion right there. You can see through the eyes of Daniel over here. Now, for the people who know about Roomtone, here we also go through the Proust questionnaire.
Absolutely.
Now, Proust, he wrote down 35 questions. We're going to choose 5 of those randomly and just spark some conversations with Daniel here about life and not only movies. Even if movies are a way to explore life, sometimes we just go right to the juice and just to get to know a little bit more about each other and ourselves and life. So, first question of the Proust questionnaire. The first question of the 5 questions is, I want to ask you, Daniel, this is a great question. What is your most treasured possession? So this is something physical.
Oh, my God. That's actually, you know what? It's pretty simple. It's my mountain bike.
Nice.
I cannot live without a mountain bike. I got 4 and I want 12.
So. That's awesome, man. Wow. Looking at your face when you said that. Wow.
Very passionate about mountain bike.
How did it all start with mountain biking?
I fell into it when I was a kid, and I'd never been able to get out of it. So, yeah, just do it. I liked the idea. I grabbed the mountain bike and started throwing myself down mountains and never been able to stop.
Is it something more related to the gravity of it, you know, the verticality of the game, or maybe the bike itself?
No, I think it's all about personal challenges. I strongly think that anytime I arrive on a trail, it's going to be a challenge between myself and that trail. And I really, really like that challenge.
Wonderful.
Like to challenge myself. So.
Wow, great answer right there. Thank you for that, Daniel. Mountain biking, yeah. It's definitely a challenge every time. Now, second question of the Proust questionnaire. Woo! If you were to die and come back as a person or a thing, what would it be?
Oh, man. Probably an ant. Yeah, an ant, I'd say.
Okay.
Just because it has this sense of community and hard work, and an ant for me doesn't question anything. It just does it, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of what's the piece it needs to carry, it's just going to lift it on its shoulders and just go with it. So, yeah, I'd say an ant.
Wow, I never heard that answer before. That's yours right there, man.
Awesome.
100% Daniel Sampier certified answer right there. Not bad at all. Right on. Third question of the Proust questionnaire. What do you consider your greatest achievement?
My greatest achievement have to be my boys. I got 2 kids, 25 and 21. And I think that's one of the best things I did in my life. Just love it.
Beautiful words, and congratulations on being a father. By the way, Father's Day just yesterday.
Yes.
So there you go. Shout out to all the fathers out there. And Daniel, congratulations. And all fathers out there, congratulations. I mean, don't take it for granted, you know.
Absolutely not.
Raising kids, and even to all families, you know, giving life to life, it's a
something.
Big task. And lots of celebration and love going to all those parents out there. Now, going to the fourth question of the Proust questionnaire. which talent would you most like to have?
Oh my God. Damn, the talent. I'd love to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm really not good at it. But,
don't say that. Come on.
Yeah, no, you don't want to hear me sing, especially not the audience. But yeah, if I could try anything and say, yeah, that's going to be something for me. I love music. As much as I love mountain biking and technology, but it's one thing I'm really not good at. And so, yeah, I would say probably singing.
Oh, that's a great one you said right there as well. Singing is definitely the ultimate expression of the soul. You know,
yes.
those it's just coming from within. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you ever try to maybe approach some choirs or?
I did that when I was a kid to figure out that I'm really not a good singer.
Don't say that though. I think that it's just a matter of practicing, you know.
Yeah, I think so. What really happened over time is really, you know, comes down to life choices, and
yeah,
there's only so many things you could do and learn on your free time. So yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I can tell you, you have an interesting timbre. You know, you have an interesting, at least the way of communicating. You know, there is a dynamic there that is very, very musical. There is a musicality to it.
Oh, nice.
So you might not be singing as people say, oh, singing, you know, no.
Yeah, not a Beyonce type of singer.
But communication is a sing of itself.
Yes.
It's singing, and it's just in a different shape, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess that's probably why I'm so attracted to VR and AR. Now I get to tell these amazing stories and, you know, put them together. So I think that my whole voice comes out through technology, mm-hmm, more than through, you know, singing type of thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. Wonderful. This is a beauty. This is, give me that saturation all the way up, please. I love it.
Absolutely.
Fifth question of the Proof Questionnaire. We're about to wrap up this whole episode. When and where were you happiest?
When and where? Oh my God. It had to be somewhere on the beach in Florida, which has been a long, long time, but a good memory that comes to mind is some good times that we had with the kids in Florida on the beach, where the rest of the world is below 20 or below 30, and we're just, yeah, surfing and having a blast and just enjoying life in general.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good memory.
What was that feeling or that sense that you attached to that moment?
I would say a big sense of accomplishment. You know, regardless, like when you start companies, you don't see where you're at sometimes. And just having that moment with my wife, my kids, and just being able to enjoy life as much as we were at that time. Yeah, I think it was a big, big sense of accomplishment that I could feel inside.
Like accomplishment. Key word right there. Accomplishment. Absolutely. The accomplishment itself. Mm-hmm. When do you think people actually get to feel that in all its range?
I think that's very hard for people to kind of feel that. I might be wrong. At least for me, it was really hard to, you know, you start companies, you build your life and things like that, and then you get caught up in all this day-to-day stuff. I think it's when you take the time to just stop for a minute and take a deep breath and kind of look what you got and where you're at, and then you realize that, hey, you might be a lot further than you anticipated or wanted to be at that time. And so, yeah.
That is a very interesting, captivating thought, because many people always want to jump straight to the accomplishment itself.
Yes.
And it's a great thirst, right?
Yeah,
the accomplishment.
Yeah.
Woo,
absolutely. But I think we're always in it to a point that we don't really appreciate or sometimes don't even see our own accomplishments, right? And I think it's important to take that minute and just take a deep breath and look around.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. It's, you know, these words are very inspiring, of course, to all the people out there. But it gets hard because sometimes you need to find your own balance, you know,
yes,
with,
yes.
You know, is it, you know, making yourself busy or not too busy. You know, there is a the art of being busy itself, you know.
Yeah, the art of being busy, right?
Yeah. What's your take on that one?
Personally, I think it's a state of mind to be busy. I don't think we should, you know, it's basically a choice. Where you spend your time and what you do with your time. Being busy for me is never a good sign. I don't like to be busy. That means I'm not smart. and I'm not working efficiently. I should never be busy. I should be enjoying the things that I enjoy in life way, way, way before anything else, which if I do, essentially, I'm never going to be busy, which is most of my life. I've never been busy, really. I just enjoy everything I do and every minute of it.
Wonderful words from Daniel St-Pierre here. We just talked about therapeutic VR and augmented reality. Daniel St-Pierre representing, of course, his own companies, Digit and Epionia. You can find more in the links in the description of this podcast, both on iTunes and on private link. And, of course, here on CIDR 101.9 FM radio show, broadcasting here from Unceded Musqueam Land. Daniel, any final shout-out before we wrap this whole episode up?
Thank you very much for the time. Really appreciate it and hope everybody will have a wonderful day.
It's a pleasure. Lots of love for the people out there. In fact, this is the final song of the soundtrack of Ready Player One. Earth, Wind & Fire can't hide love because we actually can't really hide love.
There you go.
See you. Ciao, ciao, everybody. Well, I bet ya. Oh, oh, oh.
This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are joined by Penny Pierce. She is a well-respected international expert on intuition and perception. She's a gifted clairvoyant, empath, and visionary, and a pioneer in the intuition development movement. She's worked around the world as a coach and a trainer to business and government leaders, psychologists, scientists, and those on a spiritual path since 1977, and Penny has been affiliated with the Center for Applied Intuition, the Institute for the Study of Conscious Evolution, Coach University, Coaches Training Institute in Europe, the Arlington Institute, and the Kaiser Institute, which trains hospital CEOs in the development of intuitive skills. Her books are used in training programs in universities, and today she's here to talk about her latest book, Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention. Welcome to the show, Penny.
Thank you, Marie. It's really fun to be here with you.
Thanks so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us about perception. And before we jump into the interview, I'd just like to take a moment so that we can center ourselves and find the intention of this hour. So if it's safe for you to do so, feel free to close your eyes. If you're driving, please keep your eyes open. And just focus your attention on your heart. You can place your hand on your heart if it's convenient for you to do so. And we're just breathing into our hearts. And with every breath into our heart, just sensing or noticing or seeing an energy of love entering into our hearts. And as you exhale, just let go of any tension or negativity, anything that's weighing you down. Just release it with the out-breath. And breathing in love and universal energy deep into your heart. And today, as we spend this hour talking about perception and attention, if we could just stay in that loving and open place where we're able to access our intuition and let go of judgments. And one more breath into our heart and let it out. Thank you so much for being here, Penny.